I have to tell you, this is one of the most nervous I've been about any sermon in a long time. And that's because technology is technology, and trying to do all this is going to be interesting. So bear with me, and let's hope we get through this. And I hope if you have your device with you and you are a Facebook person, that you get on Facebook and respond and join in with us through this time. I'm going to be posting while I preach, so that's going to be a new thing for me too. So we're going to just get through this together, if that's okay with you. There have been a lot of important dates for me this month. 14 years ago, on the 1st, I began my ministry here at Highland Park. It was 3 years ago at the end of September that I became the acting pastor. 2 years ago in May, I became the pastor. 21 years ago, August the 15th, I began ministry in Oklahoma. And then this week I celebrated my birthday. So I've been in the mode of really looking at my life and my career and this church. And so it's been one of those months of reflection. And I read this letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 6 or 8 weeks ago when we were looking at worship. And I decided that I needed to write you a letter, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. And so I decided I was going to do that. And then I thought, you know, this day and time, who sends letters or epistles? Do any of you still write letters? I hope some of you do. I love to get letters in the mail, but I don't write them. I can't tell you the last time I wrote an actual letter. I might jot a note down and send it. I'm not even really good at that. But I don't write letters. So I thought, okay, this is the time of social media and texting and Facebook. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to just Facebook a letter to Highland Park. And then I decided it might be fun to do it actually during worship. And it sounded like a really great idea until this morning. And then I thought, what am I doing? What was I thinking? But we're going to do this. We're going to look at Paul's letter, and then I'm going to try to send you a letter through Facebook. So our scripture today is from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 1 through 10. So let's read that together, or I'll read it if you'll follow along. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of people we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place where your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from the wrath that is coming. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want us to look at Paul's first comments here. I hope this is working. Oh, I need to do a status here. Okay. And I told you technology is going to be interesting. So, well, we missed an eight here. Okay. Highland Park, I wish you all grace. I told you it's going to be hard. Grace and peace. I'm so thankful for you, and I mention you in my prayers always. Your work has come from faith. Your effort has come from love, and your perseverance comes from your hope. Hope in the God we worship together. I hope to goodness people don't judge me for my typing. Those words that I just spoke to you may sound somewhat familiar to you, maybe from this verse, but maybe also from scripture we often refer to as the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul states it there as faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But here, it's important to mention that Paul wrote Thessalonians first. And his emphasis in this Thessalonians chapter was not love, but was hope. And so hope was the final word. But that first word, work that comes from faith. Highland Park, I see. We're not working, are we? Highland Park, I see so many ways that your works have come from your faith. Thanks, Edna Nation, for giving of yourself on Thursday evenings at God's family dinner. I don't know how many of you know this, but Edna Nation, about every other Thursday, during the peak of Austin downtown traffic, drives to the university area, and she serves food to about 200 people who are hungry. She doesn't have a group of friends who go with her. For a while, many people went, but right now, I think the only one that goes regular is Edna Nation. And she goes every other week. Her faith says to those in need and to those who are hungry that she worships a living, breathing God. Thank you, Alana Mallard from Highland Park, for showing your faith at the Micah 6 Street Youth. Drop-in center. Highland Park is a member of a coalition of churches, of 11 churches. We give our money often. We give food often on the first Sunday of the month. But in addition to that food pantry, the Micah 6 runs a youth drop-in center every Sunday afternoon from 2 to 6 o'clock. It's growing to about 50 or 60 young people from the age of 18 to 30. Go into the youth drop-in center where they get to join with other young people, and they might enjoy an afternoon nap or just being able to relax somewhere. They get a hot meal from one of our churches who brings a hot meal each week. There are computers. There's a place for them to clean up. They have fresh water. They have people who show them respect and love. It's a long afternoon, especially on a Sunday. But Alana lives her faith by going and spending time with those youth. Joe Stafford has taken large chunks of his time to come to Highland Park. And take care of our building. And I'm so grateful to him. There are so many things about an older building that are difficult to take care of. But there are so many things that Joe comes up here on a regular basis and does that most of you would never know he's done. Changing light fixtures, fixing doors where they don't slam or squeak, moving chairs around so our Sunday school rooms look more unified, cleaning out storage areas, working on toilets that are running, coming up here when someone accidentally sets the alarm off. You can't imagine the time and the energy that he has spent and he has done that he does not for recognition, but because he's living out his faith. And we're thankful for that. I could continue this all day. I haven't even begun to scratch the surface of all who give of themselves, because it's all of you. It's probably every one of you in some way or another give. Because of your faith. Your faith in your God. Your faith in this place of worship. Your faith in a living, breathing God. There are so many others that you've seen live their faith. Feel free to post those if you'd like. I would love to see this just start filling up with people. Highland Park is an unusual place. I don't know if you know this, but of those of you who show up to worship at least from time to time, over 50% of you volunteer right here in one way or another. And most of you give of yourself outside of these walls also. Highland Park, you live your faith in this world every day. And I see it. And those around you see it. And Paul goes on to say in this scripture that your effort comes from love. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says that the greatest of these is love. But here, Paul gives us love second. Maybe because we can't have hope until we've experienced faith and love. Hope comes from what we've seen and what we see as a possibility. So we need to see love in our lives in order to have that hope for the future. I can honestly say that Highland Park is one of the most loving places I've been. You can see love all around you here. I see the love when you all greet visitors. See, this is where I knew it was going to be. This is where Sunday morning meets my dissertation. I told you I was really afraid of this day. You can see your love all around you here. Let's go back to where I see. I hate to bring this up, but I feel like I'm blank on the talk show host who writes their thank you notes. Jimmy Fallon, who's speaking his thank you notes as he's writing them. That's what I feel like right here. I see the love when you all greet visitors with your smiles and your love and your warm touch. I see love when you sit with each other at the hospital, or when you bring your food to share your table Sunday, or when you sit around the tables together on Wednesday nights. The power of a touch, the power of someone sitting next to you when you've been at the hospital with a loved one who is hurting, the power of a note on your birthday, the power of a phone call when you're alone. That love is the love that leads to hope. The faith and the love together give hope for the future. This letter from Paul goes on to talk about the fact that the Thessalonians became imitators of their Lord, and it was seen by others. The message rang out. I don't think we often realize that the way we live our lives spreads our beliefs. Sometimes we think, unless we tell people what we believe or think, then they don't know, and we're too afraid to tell. I sometimes think that we tell our faith and people don't believe it because of how we live. The way we live our lives, Paul is telling us, is how people know. We do not want to post that. If we live it, people know. If we live it, people know. I've really been in a quandary over the last few months, trying to figure out what we need to do to reach people. I can say, and I have said from this pulpit, that we can't judge the life of our church by the number of people who walk in. But we can't help but be discouraged when our numbers are low. When I look at our rolls and I see how many people show up to our worship service over a 3-month period of time. Over 200. But we don't see that on Sunday mornings because it's so fluid. So I met with the ministry council and we talked about it. We're going to have a discussion Wednesday night about it. I've visited with many of you. I have gone to lunch with a few of you and talked about it. And I'm open and would love to do that with anyone who would like to visit. And I think we need to continue to try things and talk about things and see what we can do to draw people in. And I've been talking about this with friends in other churches and at other places, and it's really just weighed on me. And then someone said to me something that really kind of hurt. And I know it was because I just kept saying, you know, my church is just really in a place that I really want to see what we can do. And my friend said, isn't it God's church? Isn't it God's church? You're right. They said, you need to live your faith. Tell people about your faith. And then God will use that. If we live it, they'll know. It's not about the gimmicks, although we certainly need to keep changing and trying new things. But it's really not about the time we meet. It's not about who's standing in this pulpit on Sunday mornings. It's not about what our room looks like. It's not about whether we have a screen or not. Yes, those things can be wonderful and helpful and can be important, but what is important is whether or not we are living our faith in our lives. It is about living our faith and loving others. And trying to make Facebook work. It's about living our faith and loving others. When we do that, then we have hope. Paul had hope because he had experienced a risen Messiah. He had gone from a life of hatred and doubt to a life of faith and love, and that gave him hope in the midst of some very dark times. It did not mean that Paul had a rosy experience from that point on. It didn't. Keep reading the epistles. He spent time in prison. He had some very difficult times, but he had the hope that came from knowing a living God and seeing a resurrected Savior. Highland Park, we're in an exciting time. We have a beautiful church that's in great shape, probably better than it's been in a long time. We have people who are committed to living out the gospel together. I see it. I see it in the way you give of yourselves. I see the way God's love shines through you and the way you love each other through hard times. We are living our hope. Word is spreading because you're serving the living, breathing God. I've been told a lot lately that there's such an excitement and hope building, and yes, that there's a wind of change happening. That's hope. That's hope in our God. That's hope in our church. That's hope in our community. That's hope in our world. I pray today that as we go out into this world, that our faith and our love and our hope go with us. And that's how this world will know that there's a living, breathing God in each one of you.